It's in the bulletin. Adrian, why don't you come at this time and share with us a little bit about what's happening in Dominican, what's happening in your life. And it is so great. We've been praying lots for you.
Thank you so much, Phil.
Bless you, brother.
Well, good morning. Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning? Amen. So good to be here. I think it's just about 2 years since I was here last, Pastor Phil. But again, thank you so much for the opportunity just to share with you today about what God is doing in the Dominican Republic in Haiti, and just give you a few updates and things like that. And I just want to share a little bit from God's Word as well. But if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. If you don't, that's fine. I'm just going to read it. It's from the New Revised Standard Version. It says this: "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is never in vain." Let's pray. God, I thank you again so much for an opportunity just to share and testify of what you're doing around the world, especially in the Dominican Republic and Haiti, and give some updates. Lord, I pray that as Sharon and I share, Lord, that it'll just encourage us to know that God is not finished. He is still moving. He is still changing lives, still transforming people, healing, saving, and delivering. And Lord, that we can go forward with expectancy, knowing that God is still working. God is still moving across this world, Lord. But also, Lord, let it be a challenge to us, just to remind us, Lord, that as has been mentioned by a number of people, we do have a purpose and a plan. You do have something for us to do with our lives that have been given to you, Lord, that as we surrender ourselves to you, God, that we will be a testimony and a witness to this world that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have the gift of eternal life. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. So bear with me. I'm, you know, where I come from, we're not as techie. I think I'm doing this right. Let me see if I can work it. Going to go back one. Okay, there we go. It's hard to believe as I stand here today that Sharon and I and our family have been in the Dominican Republic for over 15 years. And yet we can stand here today and just testify about God's faithfulness and God's goodness, God's mercy, God's favor, God's blessing. Yes, there's been hard times, there's been tough times, and I thank this church, one of the churches that's been praying for me as I go through my health journey. And I just want to testify today that I've had good news from the doctors. I'm on the road to recovery. Praise the Lord. But thank you as a church for praying for me and thanking me. I really so much appreciate that. You know, I think the last time I was here was I shared about with the Points of Light, the program through a POC, and at that time I wasn't doing very well. I was actually back in Canada from tests and things like that, but God has been so good. And Sharon and I celebrated our 30 years of marriage this year. So that was a big thing for us. You know, I so much appreciate Sharon. She's my best friend and more than that as well. And I just so much appreciate her coming alongside me and serving and working for God for over the last 30 years. And we just so much appreciate what God has done in our lives. And just a huge thank you to you as a church. You know, I know you probably hear it often, but I want to speak from my heart to you this morning and say that on behalf of all the missionaries, really honestly, we value the support of the churches back here in Canada because we honestly could not do what we do without you. That's it. You know, we have that vision, we have that passion, we have that calling on our lives, but without your financial support, without your sacrificial prayers and encouragement and partnership and support, we couldn't do what God has called us to do. And so we so much appreciate and value every single one of you that give sacrificially, that pray for us, that intercede on our behalf, that think about us, send those emails of encouragement. All those little things that you do are so much appreciated and valued by missionaries. I know, especially for Sharon and I, it means so much to us to know that we have an army of Canadian churches and people standing behind us and investing into God's work in the Dominican Republic in Haiti. So thank you so much. And we're looking forward to, I believe, a team is coming. We're thinking about it in October, I believe. We've been talking with Pastor Phil. And Sharon and I will be here after the service for a small luncheon. And if you're interested in coming for a short-term team, please come in and spend some time. And we'll be free to share information and answer questions and things like that. I'm a huge believer in short-term teams. I know sometimes you hear a lot of negatives and pros and cons about short-term teams. But the difference with us is this, is when you come on a short-term team, you're not just coming on a humanitarian trip. And that's where the difference is. You're coming with that spiritual, supernatural aspect that a humanitarian trip doesn't have. And so it's yes, when you come down on a short-term trip, it's amazing. You can't put a price tag on a changed life. And I can testify to you, so many people's lives have been completely transformed and changed for eternity by coming on a short-term mission trip. In the Dominican Republic, almost every single missionary that we have met first went on a short-term mission trip. And so you can just see the long-term impact of a short-term mission trip. And then we see the other side, and we see all the people that are impacted by those that come from Canada. So I'm a huge believer in short-term mission trips. So welcome to any of you that are thinking about it, and hopefully we'll see a group of you coming down in October. The last time I was here, I shared a little bit about our vision, and I want you to know that even after 15 years, Cher and I still have such a strong passion and such a strong drive and motivation to fulfill the mandate that God has given us. God gave us a very simple calling. It was simply to go into the Dominican Republic in Haiti and come alongside the pastors and the churches and the men and women of God that he has raised up in those two countries and just enable them to fulfill the vision that God has given them. You know, illustrations that one of the pastors in the Dominican Republic uses to describe us, he says, remember that story in Exodus chapter 17 where the Amalekites were attacking the Israelites and Moses was on that mountain and he was holding his hands up, and as long as he kept his hands raised, the Israelites were winning that victory over the Amalekites. But he got tired and his hands began to drop. And as his hands began to drop, the Amalekites began to turn against the Israelites. And so I believe it was Aaron and Hur came alongside Moses and held his hands up, and as long as his hands were up, they were able to win the victory. And he said, that is exactly what you, Sharon and Adrian, are doing. They said they're just come alongside and holding our hands up and enabling us to fulfill and win the victory that God wants to give to us in the Dominican Republic in Haiti. And one of the verses that God gave to us, I think it's up there on the screen, was from Acts chapter 16, verse 5, where it just says, the churches were strengthened in their faith, and God added to their number every day. And I still remember as Cher and I were reading that verse, and that one little statement, every day, just jumped out at us. And that is kind of why we call ourselves Everyday Ministries, because this is our prayer, and it's what we intercede for, is we want to see God in the Dominican Republic and Haiti, see the churches strengthen their faith, but also to see God add to their numbers every day. And we're seeing that happen. I could testify to you, I'll skip to another last slide here, but just that the churches in the Dominican Republic, we're seeing incredible things happen. When we first went to the Dominican Republic, less than 6% of the population claimed to be evangelical. And God gave us the number 20%. One time that we were fasting and praying, we asked God to give us a tangible number, and God gave us the number 20%. And just before we came back to Canada, they did their latest census, I believe, from 2018, and the evangelical percentage has grown to 12%. Isn't that incredible? Like that's double from the 6% when we first went to Dominican Republic. So the evangelical church is thriving. It's grown. We're seeing communities transformed by the power of God. We're seeing things happen in the churches that I could keep you here all day with just the amazing stories and things that are happening in community after community after community as God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is just spreading across that country and bringing revival and renewal in so many different areas of that country. And when we first went to the Dominican Republic, Cher and I, we had just a small handful of pastors in a little community called Nagua. And, you know, Pastor Phil, I don't know, you can probably relate to this, but sometimes we don't realize all that God has in store for us. And we were quite satisfied. We thought, this is what God has for us, just to work with this small group of 35, 45 pastors. And yet, over those 15 years, God, with his mercy and blessing and his favor, has expanded our influence across the country of the Dominican Republic and into Haiti, where, as I stand here today, and even when I say it, when I think of it in my mind, it blows my mind, really, in a sense, because we now have a network of over 1,700 pastors from 19 different denominations across the Dominican Republic and Haiti that we are impacting and influencing and working with and serving and teaching and training and equipping. And the last conference, just before I came back to Canada, we had a conference where just over 700 pastors and leaders were gathered together. And I sat on the platform and I looked out over that congregation and I just, the tears just began to come, because not everybody gets to see their vision with their own eyes. And I said, God, I'm getting to see what you plant in our hearts. Here is this group of 700 plus pastors and leaders for that conference from 17 different denominations, praising and worshiping God together for one another, brothers and sisters in the Lord, all working to further the kingdom of God in the country, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti. And that was amazing. And so simply, all that we do is, as Sharon and I, all that we do in the ministry that have is we simply come alongside pastors and leaders and churches that God has raised up in that country just to equip them and enable them and encourage them and empower them to fulfill the vision that God has given them. And we're back in Canada this time because we're taking a massive step of faith. You know, and sometimes we need to take those step of faith. We need to step out of the boat and do something that sometimes in our eyes seems impossible, seems miraculous, seems unattainable. And we're taking one of those steps. And I'm going to get Sharon just to come up here and share a little bit about this next giant step that we're taking as we continue to minister in the Dominican Republic in Haiti.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you here on this cold morning. It's a little bit of a temperature shock coming back from the Dominican. It was over 30 degrees when we left and about 95% humidity. And so we've been enjoying being in Canada, wearing the layers and taking a nice hot bath and enjoying the luxuries of Canada, like toilet seats and hot water and those kind of things. And so it's just a joy to be with you today and share a little bit about what God's doing. A number of years ago, we were able to purchase 26 acres of land. And at that time, when we were looking at purchasing it, Adrian was really sick. He was having vertigo attacks 4 or 5 times a day, and he just wasn't even able to function really in the house, let alone go out and raise funds. And we just had to trust God. We're like, how is this going to happen? Because we had planned to come back and we had all of our plans on how to raise the funds for it to happen, and that wasn't going to happen. And so within 3 months of us coming back and Adrian going from doctor appointment to doctor appointment instead of from church to church, God provided the total funds to buy 26 acres of land. And so we know that it's only his hand of provision that could have done that. And so now we're at the next stage where we're ready to build on that property. You know, we used to love having missionaries come to our church when we pastored in Canada for 15 years. We actually served with Adrian's dad, and we have some of the members of that congregation here. They were in our youth group, and it's a joy to have them with us this morning. You know, missionary stories were kind of those things we'd look forward to. You know, the spiders and, you know, the crazy things that missionaries seem to get themselves into. And the thing that really excites me about this Missionary Sunday is the stories that aren't written yet. And that is our Mission Development Center. The stories that will come from there, where the pastors will be able to come and be equipped and empowered on this piece of property. So we're building, here's some photos of it. There's a meeting area in the middle, a dining room hall, a kitchen area, storage, dormitories, apartments. And so the purpose of this is not really to build something for ourselves. It's really to equip and empower the local pastors so that they could have somewhere to come to have their retreats, their conferences, to equip their congregation to reach their communities for Christ. It's really about people. And so we see in the future that this property is going to be a catalyst for change in the Dominican. Lots of the pastors that we serve are in remote areas. They're very, very poor, and they don't have a lot of resources. None of them in the remote areas even have a salary. And so having this tool for them to launch their ministries is going to be so essential. You see in the photos behind me that they've cleared the part of the property, and we're starting to dig the foundations. And so this week we actually have a team there. They've just arrived, and they're going to be pouring the footings for the building. So we're really excited. There's going to be I think the top one is the dining room hall, and the other two there that you see are the dormitories. So we need another miracle. And so we have to raise $700,000 while we're back. Our goal for this year was $100,000, and already God has provided $250,000. And so we're just so excited about God's provision for us in this step of faith in this journey. And so we're asking that you would pray, that you would give, and that you would come and help us build. So if your team's coming, they're going to be digging some holes and mixing some cement. At the back table, I have just a little brochure if you want to get more information on the building and the what's happening there. We also have a lot of other ministries that are happening on the ground, and we have our Bible seminary, we have child sponsorship. If you're interested in sponsoring a child, I head that up, and I can answer any questions. There's more information at the back. I have 5 kids that are still left to be sponsored to reach my target this fall, and so if you're thinking about sponsoring a kid, please do it. It really makes a difference. We give them doctor's appointments. We go into their schools every month and talk with them about Jesus, and teach the parents good parenting skills. They go to, the dentist isn't their favorite part of it, the program, but it's necessary, and so if you're thinking about it, it's a great thing to do. Also, I have t-shirts for sale. They actually say Contigo, and this is for your pastor. If you want to look as cool as your pastor, you can pick one up at the back. For any donation, they're just to help us raise some funds for the project. So God bless you. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. And we're excited about what God's going to do in the future.
Thank you so much, Sharon. We just have a very short video. Just sharing a little bit from one of our pastors. And so we're just going to pop that on now. Thanks.
Mi familia, o sea, mi esposa, está un poco quebrantada de salud. Y para mí es un poco difícil como poder suplirle su necesidad para que ella pueda ir al médico. También es el caso de mis hijos. En ocasiones ellos salían a la escuela. Y cuando venían de allá para acá para yo guardarles alimentos, pues, muy difícil. Porque yo estoy en una iglesia muy familiar y es una iglesia de personas pobres. Así que yo no tengo una mensualidad que la iglesia me da. Yo el trabajo que hago realmente lo hago por amor. Otra de las cosas que sucede, por ejemplo en mi caso, que al ser un lugar como donde nací, crecí, así que para poder tener una iglesia, necesito tener mucha transparencia. Y es que yo, el Evangelio, cuando vine al Señor, y antes de conocer este ministerio, yo realmente predicaba la palabra, pero realmente no predicábamos la palabra con la obra social, en otras palabras, sirviendo como hemos aprendido a través de este ministerio. El Evangelio no consiste nada más en palabras, sino que el Evangelio tiene que ver con los hechos, con lo que uno hace. Esto realmente marca a la persona. Así que pienso que este lugar, este centro, va a ser de mucho beneficio para nosotros. Hemos aprendido mucho y estoy muy agradecido. Amén.
Amen. You know, Pastor Savannah was just a representative of the many, many pastors that we work with in the Dominican Republic and in Haiti. And well, sometimes when I even just watch on a video and I think of the situation and circumstances that those pastors face every day, I'm just thinking even Pastor Ivano talking about, you know, just scrounging to find enough food to feed his children once a day and not receiving a salary from his church. Over 90% of the pastors that we work with don't receive a salary. And they live in circumstances, situations just like Pastor Ivano on a day-to-day basis. And I, at the end of the day, we're not building buildings just to build a building. We're building buildings to build people and to impact people and transform people like Pastor Savano. You know, I don't know if I could truly ever explain to you the situation and circumstances that we see, because words cannot convey life in the Dominican Republic in Haiti. And when I think of Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, where the average annual salary income is less than $300 Canadian. And, you know, sometimes it It really breaks my heart when I think, even coming back to Canada, where Cher and I just sat down at the computer and we just punched up Expedia and bought a ticket to come back to Canada, the cheapest one we could find. But as we were putting our credit card through there, the God just came over me just in a wave and just reminded me, saying, "Adrian, look how easy it is just for you to buy a ticket. You don't even think twice about it, and yet you're purchasing a ticket that is more than the annual average salary of one of the pastors in Haiti, and more than the monthly salary of one of the pastors in the Dominican Republic if they receive any funding." And sometimes, you know, it's so hard to bring that balance into your life about what you keep for yourself and what you give away. Because not only do Sharon and I, as Canadians, not only do we have the privilege to buy a ticket and go here or fill up our car with gas or even have a car, but I realize that the pastors and leaders that we work with, not only can they not purchase a ticket, but they don't even have a passport. They couldn't even qualify for a passport. They couldn't even qualify for a visa to come to Canada. And we have tried many, many times to get some of our Dominican brothers and sisters to come and join us when we come home here to Canada. And every single time they've been turned down and not qualified for a visa. And sometimes, as I said, it's just so hard sometimes and so difficult for me to wrap my brain around that and try and say, what do I keep for myself and what do I give away? Because we're constantly, every single day, reminded that the majority of people in the world that we live in today do not live like us. They don't live like us. Like Sharon said, I know we joke and laugh about it, but it's the truth. Running water, hot water, toilets, all those things that we just take for granted, most people don't even have those things. And they can just dream about them. They'll never drive a car. They'll never have running water. They'll never have hot water. And all those things that we just take for granted every single day, I find the longer I'm overseas, the harder and harder it gets to say to God, what do I keep and what do I give away? Like, just how can I really, really help these people? And I pray that. But the amazing thing to me also is, in spite of life being so difficult and so hard and so just a battle, a day-to-day battle just to survive, the pastors and leaders that we work with are amazing people. They have such joy. Like, I think you saw the smile there on Pastor Silvano's face, and the joy of the Lord is their strength, and they have such peace, and they're so determined and so resilient. They're like, this is what God has called us to do, and we're going to fulfill the vision that God has given us. No matter what comes our way, we're not quitting, we're not looking back, we're not quitting, we're just going to push ahead. I know that both Sharon and I can testify that we are not the same people we were when we went to the Dominican Republic in Haiti. We're changed. I'm a changed man. I'm a changed husband. I'm a changed father. I'm a changed pastor. I'm a changed Christian. I'm a changed person by rubbing shoulders with men and women like Pastor Silvano, who have truly revealed to me what faith is all about, what hospitality is all about, what hope is all about, what joy is all about, what love and mercy and compassion really means, what that word help means, just by rubbing shoulders with them. And it's just a joy and a privilege for Sher and I to serve alongside men and women of God like Pastor Silvano. And maybe one day, God willing, we'll be able to bring someone like Pastor Silvano right here next to us, and he can testify and share with you the truth of what I'm sharing with you today. And that Ministry Development Center, all it's going to do is, it's just going to help us to do what God has called us to do better and more effectively. But I want to challenge you as a congregation just to pray. Don't, you know, you can pray for Sher and I, yes, and we so much appreciate your prayers, but pray for these men and women of God that God has raised up in the country of the Dominican Republic in Haiti. Just before I came to the church, I was messaging with Pastor Maurice, who is in Haiti. And I know you don't hear the news much about Haiti anymore. No one really seems to care about Haiti. But he just said, Adrian, whatever church you go to in Canada, just ask them to pray for our country. Haiti is on the verge of complete and utter breakdown. I know you hear that often, but it's the truth. That country, the schools haven't opened for 2 months. There's no gasoline. There's little food. And the country is just in a state of anarchy right now. And they need a miracle. And so they just asked that as I came to different churches, just to ask you to specifically pray for Haiti, especially, and for the churches and pastors that are there. You know, and just as we come to a close, I just want to share with you just briefly from that verse I shared with you at the beginning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, because this is a verse that for Sher and I has been such an encouragement and also a challenge to us Ever since I got into the ministry and then I went onto the mission field, because the words that are contained here that are written by Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit, they resonate in my spirit and they speak to me so powerfully. And as Paul was writing to this church in 1 Corinthians, the verse before in 57, he was reminding them of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And he was saying, celebrate that and love it and enjoy it. That's great. And we should celebrate the victory we have in Christ. As we sang those songs of victory, and we sang those songs, we have that living hope in Jesus Christ, and it excites us, it compels us, and it fills us with joy and peace. But then Paul says, but wait a minute. Therefore, because you have that victory, because you have that confidence, because you have that hope, because you have that peace, because you have that trust and faith and foundation in God, therefore, be like this. Be these kind of people. And I know for sure, and we said, sometimes, can I be honest with you this morning, just as a person to person? You know, a lot of times as global workers and missionaries, we come by and we share the highlights and all the joys and the victories and things like that. But you know what? It's hard. There's sometimes where it's really difficult. And it is tough, and it's hard, and it's not always been easy. We have just as many lowlights as highlights in our story as missionaries. There's been joys and miracles, yes, but sometimes it's been very difficult and very hard, especially when you go through a season of being very sick and very ill and having bacterial infections and all those kind of things. It can get very difficult and very hard. But I always came back to this verse, because this verse, the truth of God's word, it just fills me with such confidence and hope and enthusiasm and drive. It just compels me and motivates me to continue to fulfill what God has given, the calling that God has given upon my life, the plan and purpose He has given me. Because this verse reminds me that everything I do, think about this, everything that we do for God will never be wasted. Never. Never. You hear me today? It'll never be wasted. God will do something with every little thing, every big thing, every medium thing, everything that we do for God, every little bit of work for God that we do for Him will never, ever, ever be in vain. Is that amazing? No matter how hard, no matter how tough it gets, as long as we keep going forward, as long as we keep pushing, as long as we keep going with the plan and purpose that God has for us, no matter how sick we may get, no matter how difficult it may get, as long as we keep moving forward, every little step, every little thing we do for God, God says, it'll never be in vain. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so He says to us, listen, guys, because of that, let's be steadfast. Let's be immovable. Let's excel in what God has called us to do, because it'll never, ever be in vain. I know as the pianist shared today, sometimes we have days where we do feel, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? I'm not seeing any results. I'm working hard and I'm seeing little return. It seems like nothing is happening. It seems like I'm not making a difference. And maybe some of you are here that like that today, where you've lost your passion. If you're really honest with yourself, you've lost your passion. You've lost that drive, that motivation. You're maybe feeling discouraged and disappointed. And maybe even some of you have got to the point where you've given up. You know, it's like, well, this is just the way it's going to be. This is the status quo. And nothing we do is ever going to change it. Canada's on its way down. And we're just going to ride that hill down because there's nothing we can do. And maybe you're at that point. But I pray that this verse will encourage you and challenge you, remind you that that's not how God views things. God says, be immovable, be steadfast, excel at the work of God, because everything you do will never be in vain. And I think for me, sometimes I've learned that hearing the stories of others that have gone before us are the things that remind me and testify and witness to the truth that God can take every little thing that we do, even the most hard and difficult circumstances and situations, and Canada is becoming a hard country now, we know that. Even in the midst of all that, God has promised it'll never, ever be in vain. And if you just give me a few minutes before we close, I just want to share a story of just two missionaries. I think you may have heard this story from me before, but this is a missionary that had such an impact on my life, and his story still resonates in my spirit, and I've adopted so many things from his story into my own life. I'm one of those that even as a young boy, he wrote a prayer that he would pray every day. And he'd pray every day. He'd say, God, I give up all my plans and my purposes and my desires and hopes, and I accept your will for my life, God, wherever you want to send me, whatever you want to do with my life, at any cost, now and forever, I'm yours. And he used to pray that every day. And one day in his service, just like this, he felt God compelling him and saying, I want you to go to China. He was married at that time, just a young man with his wife. And he went to China, and he served in China for 50 years. And if you read his testimony, his whole life in China was the most difficult story you could ever read. The whole time they were in China, it was war and anarchy, and there's a deep animosity to Christianity. In fact, he served in China for 14 years before he saw his first convert. And it wasn't like this where here in Canada, where yes, we have ridicule and people mocking us as Christians and trying to shut us down and our freedom of speech and like that. His story is he would leave to go out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ from village to village to village. And every single place he went, they would beat him, they would whip him, they'd stone him, they'd throw him in prison, they'd break his bones. And in his story, he says he'd come back home and he would recuperate, is a word that he uses. And then he says, I'd go out again. And I'd go out again to those same villages, time after time after time. And sometimes when I read those stories, I think to myself, say, am I like that? Seriously, think about it. If we walked out of this building today and we went into Owen Sound, and because you were a Christian, they immediately beat you and whipped you and stoned you and threw you in prison and even broke your bones, how many of us would say, as soon as I get better, I'm going out again. I'm going out again to share the gospel. And so his whole story is a story that you read it would be, as many people said, when he came back to the States after they were literally kicked out of China in the 1940s, and all Christian missionaries were kicked out and the work was shut down. And people would say, behind his back, they'd say, oh my goodness, Jimmy, what a waste of a life. His wife died in China. He lost his wife and his family there. But he'd always say, listen, guys, there's no room for discouragement because I just did what God called me to do and I leave in the results in God's hands. Jimmy Graham passed away and never saw the legacy that he left because of his obedience to God's call. I don't know if you can read it on there, but there's enough on there that should just remind you of what God can do with our obedience. Our obedience to God today, we may not see the result of that, but it can resonate to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And the part about his story that just touches me so much is that his great-grandson went back to China and went back to the area where Jimmy Graham and Sophie Graham had toiled and served for so many years with little result, little impact. A man who I said was whipped and beaten and stoned and chased out of village after village, but kept pressing forward, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that area today, I think when I read the story, it would have been about 2014 was when his great-grandson went there, he was able to trace, think about this, indirectly and directly, over 300,000 Chinese Christians that could trace their salvation to a young man. That's my alarm. To remind me, it's time to wrap it up. Reminded him, just showed him, that one young man's obedience to God's call had such a tremendous impact. Jimmy Graham is long gone from the scene, but his obedience to God is still resonating. Still resonating. Still resonating. I had a couple others here, but I'll skip to the end here really quick if you don't mind. I was going to share. Just go to the last slide here. You know, there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it says this, it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by this huge crowd of witnesses, run your race with endurance and throw off the things that are hindering you and fix your eyes on Jesus and run as hard as you can. Why? Because we know that everything we do for God is never in vain. And sometimes for me, when I think of my own life and I think, I didn't have time to tell you Mary's story and some other missionaries, but I think in that great crowd of witnesses are people like Jimmy and Sophie Graham and Mary Slessor and other missionaries and others that have gone before us. They're in that great crowd of witnesses. They're watching us run a race. And I wonder sometimes when they watch us run a race, what are they thinking? I sometimes wonder what Jimmy is thinking about me. A man who gave his whole life in service to God, beaten, whipped, stoned, thrown in prison, broken bones, who prevailed and persevered in the call of God, ran his race well. And I wonder when he looks at my life, is he cheering me? Is he saying, yes, Adrian, you're running your race well, or is he a little disappointed in how I'm running my race? But all I know is this, that buried in this verse is this, run your race with endurance, with perseverance. Be immovable, be steadfast, excel at the work of God, because everything we do for God is never in vain. Now we talk about a hope. We have that hope in Jesus Christ. But guys, we also have this hope, this assurance, this confidence that everything we do for God will never return to him in vain. Everything that we do. And so I just want to encourage you as a church, be immovable, be steadfast, excel at the work of the Lord that he has given you, because everything we do for him will never be in vain. He will do something good for it. He will do something good with it. I know for me, as Sharon and I, as we head back to the Dominican Republic, that verse just resonates in my spirit, because I know that everything we do in the Dominican Republic and in Haiti, God's going to take it, and he can magnify it, he can multiply it, he can do miracles with it, he can do the impossible with it, not just for today, but for the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. Isn't a God a good God? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much just for an opportunity to share my heart this morning, and Sharon as well, as we just talked a little bit about what has happened in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. I think of the pastors there and leaders that you've raised up in both those nations, incredible men and women of God who have literally nothing. Every single day is a struggle. It's so difficult. And yet when you rub shoulders with them, you're just impacted and amazed at the joy of the Lord and their confidence in you and their hope in you and the peace of God that passes all understanding, that allows them to fight through the most difficult circumstance situations with the joy of the Lord as their strength, and just persevering in the call of God upon their lives and believing that as they persevere, that God, you will do something with their obedience, and you will bring transformation in their cities and in their towns and in their communities and across their nation, Lord. And God, I thank you for those that have gone before us to also testify of the fact that as we sincerely commit to what you've called us to do, and we persevere in the work of the Lord that you've given us, so that as we are immovable and steadfast, God, that promise echoes down through eternity to us today and resonates in our spirits and says, everything that we do will never return in vain. And so, God, fill us with that excitement, that encouragement to know that as we strive forward, as we continue in the work of God here in Owen Sound and in this church and in our businesses and places of employment and in our families and our homes, that everything that we do for you, God, you're going to do something with it. You're going to bring something good out of it, something miraculous, something impossible, that will leave a legacy that will impact generation after generation after generation after generation. That our stories of obedience, you'll weave them into that portrait that you're trying to make, that will bring transformation and change and salvation and deliverance and healing to the lives of so, so many. And God, so in the name of Jesus, I just come against any discouragement. I come against any despair, any disillusionment. I come against anything where we're feeling that we're ready to give up, or we're ready just to surrender. We just don't feel like we're making a difference, Lord. I pray that this verse will just speak to us this morning and remind us that that's not the truth. That is not the truth. That God says that as we work for you and serve you in obedience, that you will do something great and impossible and miraculous with it. We may never see it, but God, you will do something with it. And we thank you for that. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Phil.
Amen. Thank you, Adrian. And that Adrian will be in the lobby afterwards to answer some questions and to get some information if you'd like from that end. Following that time, we're going to gather together with those that are interested in maybe wanting to hear a little bit more about maybe going to the Dominican Republic with us in October of 2020, and that to be a part of a build project and to help come alongside our brother and sister and encourage them and to help them down in the work that they're doing. Can I just simply say this? Everything you say, Everything you do, it matters. There's never a wasted moment. And that Gayla and Derek, everything you do, your little maid, she's going to follow. She's going to watch, she's going to listen, and she's going to pick up, and she's going to move with. I mean, that's what kids do. That's what people do around us. And so I just encourage you, whether you ever are called to go overseas or not, that's not what Adrian and them are talking about. But every one of us are called to the place we are. What that looks like, what that rings out to be, all determines in your heart and my heart, how willing are we to lay our life down and say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I make an impact? How can I make a difference? Amen? And that to my family, and that to my coworkers, to the people around me in my community, to the body of Christ, how can I make a difference in what I say and what I do? Your life matters. You matter. You are worth everything to God, not just because of what you can do, but because he knits you together in your mother's womb. That's how special you are. So if you're here today and you're struggling with that, or you've been struggling with, hey, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing, then I encourage you to take a moment and I'll hang around for a little while and I'd love to pray with you or to talk with you. But just know God's for you. He's not against you. He's not up there trying to smack and beat you down. He's there lifting you up, saying, I got a plan for you, give you a hope and a future. If you'll just seek me with all your heart, I'll give it to you. Amen? So I just really encourage you with that. A reminder to the members of Rockliffe not to forget to pick up your packet for our business meeting next week after church for our Rockliffe Seniors Complex. It's such an honor here at Rockliffe that we have a seniors complex just down the road, and it's going to be just talking about our last year and the business of that. So excited that we can love on our seniors and also with our daycare that we can love on 100-plus families. What a great privilege and an honor that God is given because of your faithfulness, and that is a body of Christ. So God bless you. We love you lots. Don't forget, Monday night at 6:30 is our Cazone. It's our last one for this round. And so if you want to be a part of that, come on out. Don't forget Tuesday, 6:30, or 6 o'clock, sorry, if you want to come and be a part of the family fun and the fusion night. If not, then we'll see you next Sunday or tonight at 6:30 for prayer. God bless you. We love you lots, and we'll see you tonight.